Things that bump in the night. Things that creep us out. Voices from another realm. The figures that move out of the corner of your eye. That odd light in the sky.
Hey everybody, welcome back to It Came From Amity. This is Casey, and across from me, as always, is Noah.
It's Noah.
So, I know it's been a while since we've been in the studio, but we are back. Last week, I had a pretty killer headache, and
I got one today.
But Noah...
It never ends.
Noah soldiered through. I chose not to last week, but Noah's a frickin' trooper, so... So what we decided to do today was we're going to talk about the Enfield poltergeist.
Yeah. The same thing from Conjuring 2. I got the hiccups now. That's great.
He's having a stroke.
Conjuring 2.
So yeah, if you guys have ever seen the Conjuring 2, it is a dramatized version of that story. And we're going to go into it in some depth today about kind of the reported happenings of what happened.
There's a lot of it that seems so faked.
Yes.
You know? But that's just how it is with 70s hauntings.
Yeah. And there's some of it that they can't disprove, and there's some of it they're like, yeah, this is obviously fake. So we'll get cracking into it. So this happened at 284 Green Street, which is a council house, or what we would call public housing.
This story is extremely British.
Yes, extremely.
Yeah.
And this happened in the little village of Enfield in London, England.
And this family is, not to be mean, but they're like the British equivalent of like white trash.
Kind
of. They're like the British. The Brits have their own white trash.
Mm-hmm.
Like redneck, not all rednecks, but you know what I mean.
Right.
Yeah. Like subcultures within their cultures. And this family is definitely one of them.
Oh, yeah, they're like lower socioeconomic.
I'm sure they were a nice family, but a lot of the times what you see in these lower class families, take, for instance, the Demon House in Gary.
Mm-hmm.
The poorer and lower class you are, typically tends to be more of a sensationalized haunting story. You know what I mean? Because it gives them attention. Maybe they get a little money off of it.
See, the thing I didn't like about the Gary house was the fact that Zach Bagans was involved.
Oh.
But.
I was doing a wedding in Chicago.
Yeah.
And I looked across the thing. It was Zach Bagans.
What? Nuh-uh.
The bartender
mm-hmm.
was the spitting image of Zach Bagans.
Really?
He was even buff. Now Casey's sneezing.
Yep.
We're falling apart. He was buff, looked exactly like him in the face, had the same glasses, had the black hat. It looked exactly like... So I went up to him. I was like, dude, you ever hear... I know you've heard it before. He's like, what? I was like, you look like Zach Bagans. He goes, I don't know who that is.
What?
I was like, dude, you've had to have heard that before.
Had to have.
So I showed him a picture of him on Google. And he was like, what? And he like ran away.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't care. I don't know. Like reading about that Gary House incident, because like a lot of that stuff was reported as public record. Like police reports, nurses reports.
It's like a crappy house.
DCS or whatever. Like they all reported on all sorts of stuff that they saw.
Yeah. But you know what? It's the same kind of thing where, okay, let's remember the show Celebrity Ghost Stories?
Yeah.
Okay, you never saw Tom Hanks had a ghost. You never saw a successful celebrity like Tom Cruise had a ghost or Bradley Cooper had a ghost. You never saw that, right? But it was always, okay, so-and-so, Tracy Lords had a ghost.
Right.
So-and-so, Michael Madsen had a ghost.
Right. But you know, an A-lister on top of their game is never going to say that they countered a ghost right. just because they don't want their reputation.
But they're also not looking for that 15 minutes to add on, sure. like that extra oomph of fame.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I feel like people do make up stuff, you know? I mean, happens.
I mean, obviously they do, but...
Yeah.
I do, like in this case here that we'll talk about with the Enfield poltergeist, there is stuff in there that I would agree 100% the girl's faked.
Right.
There's stuff...
Like the photo where it just looks like she's just jumping off the bed. It's like, okay.
There's other stuff that would be very hard to disprove. Yeah. And we'll get to all that. So
the mom kind of seemed like she enabled a little bit.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think ultimately she wanted to believe that her daughters are telling the truth.
Yeah. But she also might have liked the attention.
And that's possible.
Right.
Now, granted, there wasn't a whole lot. And like I said, we'll do this as chronologically as we can. But it took place between 1977 and 1979, so a two-year span. And
the girl's still alive today.
Yes. So apparently, the girl started having some incidents. And what kicked it off was back in August 77, the mother, whose name was Peggy, she called the Metropolitan Police to her home.
They lived in like Section 8 housing.
Yeah, government housing. Yeah.
It's not a nice house.
Or council housing.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
As they called it. So the address is 284 Green Street. And you can actually still go to that house today or at least see it.
I feel like the Conjuring movie got the house pretty accurate from what you've seen, pictures. Like, it was pretty close, Conjuring 2.
I'd agree.
Really small, dank looking. I'm sure there was some mold here and there, you know. It wasn't dirty. It was just rickety.
Right. Yeah. So kind of, yeah. I mean, it's like just your typical old London flat.
Yeah.
So supposedly she called the MPs. They come out and she says that she saw furniture moving and that two out of the four of her children heard knocking sounds on the walls. The children who were most closely involved was Margaret, who was 13 at the time of the first reports, and Janet, who was 11 at the time.
Is Janet the main one? Who was jumping in the picture?
I'm not 100% sure.
Okay. I'll look it up just so we get an idea.
So a female constable who had responded to the call for police said she saw a chair wobble and slide but could not determine the cause or point of movement.
There's a show from 2015 about it on...
Probably like a BBC thing?
I guess so. It's a miniseries. Huh. Interesting.
Later claims included that there was disembodied voices, loud noises, thrown toys, overturned chairs, and children in levitating. Over the course of 18 months... More than 30 people, including the Hodson's neighbors, psychic researchers, journalists, had said they had saw heavy furniture moving on its own. Excuse me. Objects being thrown across the room and the sisters seemingly to levitate off the ground several feet by themselves with no cause, no known or seeable cause. Many people have also heard recorded knocking noises and a gruff voice. For a time, the story would be regularly covered in the Daily Mirror, which was a newspaper in London, until reports came to an end in 1979.
So they had a good 2 or 3 years of fame there.
Just over 18 months from start to finish. And then all of a sudden, everything stopped. Now, what's interesting is that...
Janet
was the one in the picture?
She's the main one.
Okay. Now, what's noted is that these were young girls, right? And something that we know, at least what's theorized about poltergeists, is that typically poltergeist activity happens around young girls.
Hormonal.
Hormonal, high energy. Like in their preteen and teen years is typically when it happens, based on the data that we do have. So there is a very famous society They're based in London, but there's chapters all over, and it's called the Society for Psychical Research. I think we may have mentioned them in passing. I can't remember which case it was, but we talked about them, I think, in passing on one of our episodes where we had like a list of stuff we were running down, and I think we just happened to pop the name. But it's been a couple years back. So they sent the SPR, or the Society for Psychical Research, sent two members, Maurice Gross and Guy Lyon Playfair, to go.
Maurice Gross, he's the one that you hear in the audio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's the British, as British as you can get.
Oh, yeah. If you if you picture in your mind a very British, proper British voice.
Right.
Of a proper British gentleman, he be it.
And he even looks like.
Oh, yeah.
Like how he sounds, he looks like how he sounds.
Oh, yeah. The dude's like. Yeah. He's got the handlebar mustache. Oh, yeah. He's got
big old glasses.
The suit. Oh, yeah.
Bald. He's got the haircut where he's bald on top, yep. But he hasn't given up on it yet.
He's a proper British gentleman.
The guy in the movie was pretty close to how he looked.
Yeah, I mean,
pretty close.
So the SPR sent these two members to go investigate. And they reported back that they heard curious whistling and barking noises coming from Janet's general direction. And although Playfair maintained the haunting was genuine and wrote in his later book that this house is haunted, the true story of a poltergeist, which was first released in 1980, that he believed ultimately that there was an entity to blame for the infield disturbances. And he often doubted the children's veracity and wondered if they were playing tricks and exaggerating. But still, Gross and Playfair believe that even though some of the alleged poltergeist activity was faked by the girls, other incidents were genuine, which is a position that I hold. Because what they did find is, like, some of the knocking and some of the whistling was ultimately the girls. However, there was an incident, and I can't remember which one of the gentlemen it was, but there was an incident where I think, like, some kind of, like, toy building block or a Lego or something was launched through the room, and from the direction of which that toy came from, there was no one in that area. So they weren't 100% sure, like, they were, well, where'd that come from?
I used to have action figures, and sometimes I would leave, like, let's say I had a Star Destroyer, and I would leave the little spring-loaded mechanism, and sometimes it would just go off.
But how do you explain the Lego?
Yeah.
I mean, Legos don't have springs.
Some of them have mechanisms.
In the 70s?
Well, that's true. That's true.
Because, I mean, that's like when, I think, Lego first launched was like
I'm just being an antagonist.
I noticed that today.
Yeah.
Noah's like trying to be the...
I'm
like,
being a little brat
the
today.
The opposite. Now, I will say I've always been very interested in the case because of the duality of the case, where there's enough evidence to point that something definitely was going on.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, because of how the girls behaved, it tends to kind of dim the...
They were kind of brats, shimmer. Weren't
like,
they?
Yeah, I mean, kind of. I mean, it kind of like just made... Took the attention like, yeah, there's definitely something here, but we're going to add to it.
Yeah.
And then... It kind of takes away from the credibility of the story. So
they weren't spoiled because they were like poor.
I think they liked the attention.
Yeah, they were dramatic, like typical, you know, 16, 15 year old girls.
Yeah, and who doesn't like having their name in the paper?
Right.
So, so at one point, there was other paranormal investigators who studied the case, and an inter Ed and Lorraine Warren. Now, if you guys have listened to this podcast long enough, you guys know that me personally, I'm not a fan of the Warrens.
They pop up a lot, though.
They do pop up a lot. Well, I mean, yeah, here's this real popular case, and they're going to go, and they're going to check it out, and they're going to get their name inserted somehow, whether...
They're like storm chasers, only they're ghost chasers.
Yeah, except storm chasers do it for the thrill. Ed and Lorraine did it for their own namesake.
Yeah.
They did it for the publicity. They did it
They did some of it for the science of it, I think. But, yeah, a lot of it was for their own.
But that's the problem, is that their legacy is tainted by the amount of falsifications that they entered into the documentation.
I mean, I can't hate them, because it's like they made a name for themselves. They were smart.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's their legacy.
Yeah, they knew
how to. I can't hate them for that.
They knew how to brand it. But unfortunately, when you talk about parapsychology and paranormal research, they threw a wrench in the cog as far as, like, trying to bring a legitimacy to the field of paranormal study. Because it's like,
it's like they took a bunch of stories that were already existing and made it their own. Like the Annabelle doll, they sucked that in and made that their own.
The Conjuring House.
Amityville. Yeah.
They were, well, I mean, they even looked at the dad at the Amityville house. It was like, hey, this is a great story and we believe everything you said, but can we add a little bit?
Yeah.
Can we pepper it up a little bit? And I'm like, what's there to pepper up? It's right. already a spooky place to be. And like the video of the boy on the banister, the real famous one.
Yeah.
The one that Ed and Lorraine Warren like blew up. That made some of their claims credible, because like, look at the photo.
Yeah.
That is a legitimate photo. One of the best ghost photos I think I've ever seen.
Have you seen his museum?
Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah. He's got the Annabelle doll. What's funny is it's a Wendy doll.
Yeah.
It's not like the China doll that they have in the movie.
The Conjuring movie made Annabelle look like this creepy,
old school
porcelain type doll.
Yeah, it's just a little redhead Wendy doll.
Yeah, it's a
There's
Raggedy Ann.
Nothing scary about it.
Yeah, it's a Raggedy Ann doll.
Or what I say, Wendy, Raggedy Wendy. Ann. You
I
know what I meant.
I knew where the Wendy came from. Yeah. He's got Wendy's on the mind. Who doesn't Wendy's want a bowl burgers. Of chili and a baked potato?
Oh yeah, but it's not. The movie sensationalized it and made it Hollywood. I mean, obviously, the Annabelle doll in the movie is creepy.
Well, the entire Conjuring series was a massively dramatized version of every event that they used.
As far as horror movies go, though, the first Conjuring was pretty good.
No, I liked it.
Yeah.
I was actually even a fan of the second one.
I liked it, too, yeah.
And I even liked the Annabelle Origins movie.
Yeah.
See, I like that.
They got a little worse as they went along, but they were still okay. Well, but that first Conjuring was a solid movie.
Well, I mean, in that whole universe they created, there were like hot spots.
Yeah.
Like I said, Annabelle Origins was a great movie.
Then they Conjuring, added, like, those sequels or some of the other stuff they added in. Yeah. Like, Annabelle Comes Home. It's like they added that in. And,
yeah.
But that's just because they sold tickets. Yeah,
they knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
It's a marketing.
But that first Conjuring, man, I remember seeing that in theaters. Like, this is legit. This is a good movie.
It was a good movie.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and they still call it the Conjuring House. Like, it's
a guy, this big old bearded guy owns it now, and he lets people do tours and stuff.
It's cool.
He'll hunt alongside you, too.
I watched, what's the name? The BuzzFeed series that they got on Hulu.
Unsolved. Or Supernatural or whatever.
Yeah, where those two guys go and they didn't capture any evidence at all.
There's a guy, I watch him, he's called Josh. It's Explore with Josh. And he does urban exploration.
Mm-hmm. And I've watched him.
Yeah, he started doing paranormal stuff, but he goes to the Conjuring House a
lot. Wasn't he the same one that went to the cemetery like in L.A.?
Yeah.
And he went to, and there was that creepy woman that he kept spotting?
Oh, that's another guy.
Was that another guy?
Yeah.
I just thought of that, and it gave me goosebumps thinking about that scene, because I was like, because you showed me, like, well, look at this crazy shit, man.
Well, he went to the Conjuring House, and the guy was like, yeah, the house is scary, but I don't even tell people about this, but in the woods, there's a cemetery. I was like, what? So they went to the cemetery, and it was like way scarier than the house even.
Huh.
They would see like shadow figures in the woods.
Oh, that's crazy, dude.
They would hear it got EVPs and stuff. So I feel like the Conjuring was like that because of like an Indian burial ground or just the bodies that were buried there, which that happens a lot, you know. But and the house just happens to sit on, because nothing noteworthy ever actually happened in the house.
Right.
It just sits on top of that land.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
Anyway, that's a different case.
Did we cover the Conjuring House?
I don't know. I'll look it up, and we will if we need to.
It sounds like we've talked about it. It feels like recently. Anyway. Yeah. So Ed Warren shows up, and they actually visited the Enfield house in 1978, and they were convinced that the events had a supernatural explanation. Of course they did. They always do.
They weren't British.
No, they were American.
Okay. They were from, like, Boston or
something like that. Maine, New England or something. Yeah. However, Janet was detected in trickery. There was a video camera in an adjoining room caught her bending spoons and attempting to bend an iron bar.
With her mind?
Physically.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. She was detected trying to fake some of the stuff going on.
Oh, she got caught in the act. Okay, well, if they were going to fake that, what else did they fake, you know?
Gross had observed Janet banging a broom on the ceiling and hiding his tape recorder. According to Playfair, one of Janet's voices she called Bill displayed a habit of suddenly changing the topic. It was a habit Janet also had. When Janet and Margaret admitted pranking the journalist, Gross said Playfair compelled the girls to retract their confession. The two men who were mocked by other researchers for easily being duped. The psychical researcher Renee Haynes had noted the doubts were raised about the alleged poltergeist voice at the SPR conference at Cambridge in 1978, where video cassettes from Enfield were examined. SPR Anita Gregory stated the Enfield case had been overrated, characterizing several episodes of the girls' behavior as suspicious, and speculated that the girls had staged some of the incidents for the benefit of journalists seeking a sensational story. And then John Beloff, or Beloff, a former president of the SPR, investigated and suggested Janet was practicing ventriloquism. Both Beloff and Gregory came to the conclusion that Janet and Margaret were playing tricks, on the investigators.
Ventriloquism?
That's what they say.
That would come in handy, right?
Milburn Christopher, an American stage magician, briefly investigated Enfield occurrences and failed to observe anything that could be called paranormal. He was dismayed by what he thought was suspicious activity on the part of Janet, later concluding that the poltergeist was nothing more than the antics of a little girl who wanted to cause trouble and who was very, very clever. Ventriloquist Ray Allen even visited the house and concluded that Janet's male voices were simply vocal tricks. There was also Joe Nickel of the U.S. Committee for the Scientific Investigation of Claims of the Paranormal, who examined the findings himself and criticized them for being overly credulous. When a supposedly disembodied demonic voice was heard, Playfair noted that, as always, Janet's lips hardly seemed to be moving. He states that a remote-controlled still camera, the photographer was not present in the room with the girls, timed to take the picture every 15 seconds was shown by investigator Melvin Harris to reveal pranking by the girls. He argues that a photo allegedly depicting Janet levitating actually shows her bouncing off the bed as if it was a trampoline, which is the one that you just showed me.
You know what's funny is there's that picture, but there's also a lot of variations of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, which one was real? Or because I know back then they didn't have cameras that could shoot like... They didn't have that.
Right.
They had to wait for the flash and all that. So it's like it had to happen multiple times then.
Right.
Yeah. Or it was faked. They would pose it, and, you know. Because, like, today, when I shoot a wedding, I can hold down the shutter button and take 50 pictures in a matter of, you know, 5 seconds. They didn't have that back then, though.
No.
You're shooting on film. You got to wait for it to charge up, and, yeah. Interesting.
So, skeptics have argued that the alleged poltergeist voice that originated for Janet was produced by false vocal cords above the larynx and had the phraseology and vocabulary of a child. In a television interview for BBC Scotland, Janet was observed to gain attention by waving her hand and then putting her hand in front of her mouth while a claimed disembodied voice was heard. During the interview, both girls were asked the question, "How does it feel to be haunted by a poltergeist?" Janet replied, "It's not haunted," and Margaret, in a hushed tone, interrupted, "Shut up." These factors have been regarded by skeptics as evidence against the case. As a magician experienced the dynamics of trickery, Nickel examined Playfair's account as well in contemporary press clippings. He noted that the supposed poltergeist tended to act only when it was not being watched and concluded that the incidents were best explained as children's pranks. Although Gross made tape recordings of Janet and believed no trickery was involved, the magician Bob Cuddy? Said he made some of the recordings available to me and have listened to them very carefully. I came to the conclusion that there was nothing in what I had heard that was beyond the capabilities of an imaginative teenager. All the recordings have been cataloged and digitized by the Society of Psychical Research, and a book of their content was produced by Dr. Melvin Whelan in 2019. A 2016 article by psychology professor Chris French in Time Out magazine described five reasons why he believed the case to have been a hoax. His reasons are this: the two sisters involved admitting hoaxing some of the activity. The photo of Janet levitating above her bed could just as easily be explained as Janet jumping, which it looks like she was.
Yeah.
The spirit of an old man who supposedly possessed Janet took a great deal of interest in menstruation.
Ugh.
Eyewitnesses are notoriously unreliable. Other schoolgirl pranks before and after have gotten out of hand. So, if you guys... And like I said, I personally believe that a great deal of what they did was hoaxed. The recording of the old man, if you go to YouTube, you can actually listen to it. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, at the end or during, yeah, in the movie The Conjuring, Part 2, they actually have the original audio for that bit. To me, it does sound like a bit like an old man.
Yeah.
What is the chance?
My sister used to be able to do a old man voice when she was a kid, and it sounded like an old man. Yeah. So this case just doesn't have much to it. You know, it just doesn't. I mean, yeah, there's pictures of her jumping on the bed, but who cares? Like, what does that prove?
Right.
You know, now if they got a video of her floating in air, that would prove a lot. But just pictures of her jumping, that doesn't prove that she levitated. No. Like, okay. Plus, in the pictures, she's clearly going up or down because her clothes are rumpled and her hair. She's not levitating.
No. No.
So...
yeah, in the pictures.
You gonna sneeze again?
No. But yeah,
it's like allergies or something today, man.
But yeah, in the pictures that I've seen of the jumping, it looks
stupid. I'm just a brat today.
It looks like she's just jumping.
Yeah. She is.
But
it's just a family that wanted 15 minutes of fame, man. I'm sorry.
I will say this. If you guys want, and this is how I'll leave this bit, you can go to YouTube and you can look up Enfield Poltergeist voice recording, and you can listen for yourself to see what you believe as far as the possession is concerned.
Yeah.
I mean, in the pictures, if you see the pictures, there's really nothing that...
it's just a kid jumping on the bed.
It's a kid jumping. But yeah, you can look up the audio recording and see what you think about that in and of itself. And then you guys can, obviously, if you wish, you guys could comment in the... comment section of whatever platform you're listening on, as well as on Facebook, and tell us what you think of it. Yeah, it does seem like allergies, doesn't it? My nose is starting to run. But as far as that goes,
Was there ever a resolution to the case? Or was
not
just,
really.
Okay, this family's haunted. Here's some recordings. See ya. That's basically what happened.
Yeah, there's no... You have the two camps. Well, I guess technically three. A, there was a poltergeist and there was an issue for 2 years. The other camp was, no, it wasn't. It was a hoax for 2 years, and these girls basically managed to put their family in... oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the third camp is, some of it was hoaxed, some of it was real. And it's hard to disprove that some of it was fake. But it's easier to prove that some of it was faked.
Well, I mean, it's just... you look at it, and it's just obvious. or not even fake. It's like they just took a picture and said, oh, this is her levitating. You're not faking anything, right? Right. Technically, she's in the air, but it's a picture of a kid jumping. That doesn't prove anything.
No, not at all.
You know?
The only thing that I find convincing
was
for me
voice.
Was the audio.
Yeah. Was that recorded onto a tape?
Yes.
Yeah, so it could have been a double, like, kind of like a double exposure kind of thing with the tape where there was a track behind it.
Supposedly, that gross guy was actually interviewing the Janet while she was possessed, supposedly.
Yeah, I remember the scene of it.
So it's possible that it was legit. It's possible that it's not, that she's just really, really good and very, very clever.
Rehearsed.
I mean, it's very possible.
Yeah.
I'm saying that it's my, at the end of the day, my leaning is that it's probably, I would say 95% fake.
Well, there was nothing. They never saw a ghost.
No.
Saw a spirit. There, nobody was harmed. The, nothing, you know, stuff like that. It's like, well, then you're not, you don't know what it is, if right. anything.
I mean, and that's probably the truer notion is that these girls, especially Janet, was. But here's the funny part. Even after all these years, she still claims that the possession was not fake.
Well, of course she does.
She still claims that.
Of course she does.
Well, yeah.
OJ still says he didn't do it.
I don't think he did it. There's no way he did it.
OJ?
I'm thinking he was behind it, but I don't think he actually committed the murder itself.
We'll save that. We'll save that.
The glove didn't fit, man.
Okay. Wow. No, but I mean, she's not going to just come out and say, "Yeah, it was fake," because like she's gotten so much publicity from that.
No, I mean, and I agree, but even like
Universal has written where she can't come out now because they made a movie about it. It's like you can't.
See, I don't even see. That's the thing. That was like even Universal made Ed and Lorraine in those movies look like they're out for the truth.
Right.
Like they're some kind of like
they're
weird
Bible warriors.
Yeah, like Mulder and Scully. And then at the end of the day, the real
they were snake.
The real
snake oil
Warrens
salesman.
were out for themselves. Yeah. Realistically, and their legacy is tainted because of the truth. Because
they were snake oil salesmen.
Yeah,
right. Peddling stuff that's not real and. You know,
I mean, in every single case, like major case they had, especially the ones where The Conjuring blew them up, mm-hmm. was the Warrens went to those cases and said, "We believe what you're saying is true, but you're going to have to doctor it. You're going to have to, you know, really
yeah."
Pep it
and they
up.
Liked the bigger the case. I mean, Amityville Horror, Amityville was a huge case. A whole family gets killed by shotgun.
Yeah,
and it's all over the news, all over the country. Ed and Lauren gravitated to that like moths, yeah. moths to fire, you know?
Like
they
said,
love that.
The biggest thing that sells the Amityville house as far as being a true deal, you take away... yeah, I mean, there's odd stuff about the house and you know, and all that. But the biggest thing about the Amityville house was the ghost picture of the boy on the stairwell. That is like...
Yeah.
And that... And to the Warrens, that sold it. Like, well, look at the picture. Well, yeah, that picture is very creepy. And I believe that's very possibly one of the ghosts of one of the DeFeo boys. I believe that. Do
Man,
I believe everything else that they sold? No, I don't believe everything else that Ed and Lorraine sold about the house.
Look at, like, Son of Sam and all the serial killers and, like, Amityville and this. It's like the 70s were a weird time, dude.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I don't know what it was about the 70s, but
drugs.
Man, it had to be.
I think the 70s, I don't know, like
Son of Sam himself, just a weird, weird guy.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know. It's just yeah, the 70s were a weird time, especially for parapsychology.
Yeah.
Especially being such a like a up and coming type of field of study. You know, in England and Scotland both have recognized degrees for parapsychology.
Yeah. You can United actually States be a doctor.
Yeah, you can actually have a actual doctorate in parapsychology.
But here we don't take it seriously.
Which I think is a shame.
Even the FBI has their system of parapsychology.
Yeah.
And like during interviews, they have their guidelines. But even those aren't taken seriously. It's like, what?
And the funny thing is, too, when you get down to it, is the Vatican has priests who are dedicated to exorcisms.
I thought you were going to say touching children.
Well, I mean, that too.
Dedicated to that too. Yeah, the Vatican. They do like hundreds of exorcisms a day all over the world, you know?
And there's a protocol
set
in place that these things have to happen in order for the Vatican to say, yes, we're going to do
this.
You got
to get it approved by the Pope himself.
And they have to go through an entire battery of medical and psychological testing. And if they pass all of that, then they're like, well, the only other thing it could be is an actual
possession.
Some
of that is for liability.
It absolutely is.
Because back in the day, they killed some people on accident. Yeah. There was one girl where they exercised her so much, she had like brain damage afterwards.
I mean, the Vatican takes it very seriously.
Yeah.
And they go, okay, obviously not every single case. Very rare.
Yeah, they say like 1% of cases is actually demonic. A lot of it's just explained away.
Yeah, because they can go, oh, well, this guy's faking it. Or, this guy might actually have like a medical condition. Or this guy's got a psychological condition. And then after they get it tested, they're like, well, okay, this guy passes all these tests, so maybe it is something.
But most of the time it's schizophrenia or, you know, something like that.
I think if I remember right, there's that one. I think he's a, what is he? He's a bishop or not a bishop. I can't remember what his actual title is, but he's out of Indianapolis, and he's one of the most highly sought after exorcists in the whole sphere of Catholicism.
It's like when you're getting surgery. I want that doctor. I want to go to their. Well, it's like I want that exorcist.
Supposedly, the exorcists, they're assigned districts.
Yeah,
and I guess the one that's in Indianapolis, his district has gotten bigger because certain exorcists they've retired, but they have trouble filling those spots for whatever reason. Because you have to want to do it. You have to be approved to do it.
It takes a dedicated person to want to do that.
Then you got to go through like an actual course through the Vatican. They actually do this whole thing. And then once you pass it, then you get assigned.
Right.
But this guy's been doing it for a long while now. And I guess he was actually assigned to go do the Gary House.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. I remember hearing about him.
Once it broke out, and they're like, oh, we don't know what to do. And then there was this priest in Chicago or in Gary, and he's like, yep, this is above my pay grade. And he gets a hold of the exorcist in Indy, like, you got to come check this out because I can't deal with this. And because I guess he tried to go bless the house. And he's like, nope. And he just noped himself right out of the house.
Did we do the demon house?
I know we talked about it.
We'll have to go in depth about it. The theory is they just built it right on top of a portal.
Yeah.
Because if you go down under the stairs in the basement, there's just a dirt floor.
Well, the house doesn't even exist anymore.
Yeah.
Zach Baggins bought it and had it tore down.
That was like, so it's too stupid. Evil. Why?
He goes, it's too evil.
He did that for dramatic purposes.
Well, it's Zach, so of course.
Yeah. Why not leave it up? That was dumb. It's not hurting anybody.
You know why? Because he had to have the final say.
Yeah. That's or he didn't want anybody to come in and disprove it. Because he owns it.
I don't think they could have disproved it. And the reason why is there was too much documentation to back it up.
I think it's just his bullshit ego then.
His ego. Well, like I said, you had all those ER personnel that saw the boy climb up the wall.
Yeah.
There was the mother, the nurse. There was a social worker from the hospital who saw that kid climb up the wall.
Yeah. I'm going to buy it just to tear it down. It's like so stupid. Because
he's a jerk.
Yeah. Whatever.
I don't... I think he buys into his own BS.
Well, of course he does.
He believes that he's like some kind of expert. It's like, dude, you've had a couple TV shows.
I hate the way he talks to his crewmates.
Oh, he's absolutely like he's the so most condescending
yeah.
piece of... I remember watching...
Talking to Aaron, he's like... When Aaron's like, I don't want to go down there alone. Go. Go down there. You will. Like, he'll scream at yeah. him and stuff. It's like, dude, chill out, man.
I remember watching an episode one time where they were like... They were at Alcatraz.
Uh-huh.
And he had this chick in his crew. And they're like, oh, we're going to send her into the cell because... You know, since these men were locked away,
was
and
it
didn't
the guy,
see any...
the sister, and the guy who have their own show now, the blonde, cute yeah. blonde girl, yeah, Dakota and something,
yeah,
yeah, and, she's like really cute.
And they were like, we're gonna send her in this hall by herself, and then maybe see what happens. I'm like, I remember watching an episode going, you guys are like baiting her, like you yeah. guys are literally using her as bait.
She was like terrified.
Oh yeah, she's sitting at the end of the hallway. And she's just and they got the infrared on her, and she's like huddled in the yeah. corner of this hall, and she's absolutely petrified.
I think that's
just
probably
move.
Why Dakota and her stopped working with him and have their own show now.
Or you know? I would.
Yeah.
It's like okay, yeah, you understand.
Destination Evil is the name of it. By
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, okay. She was okay with it, but when she starts to panic, it might be time to extract her from that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just time to get to remove yourself.
Yes.
So as far as the whole infield thing goes, that's kind of how I stand. I know Noah thinks it's in it, the entire thing is a hoax.
Not all. I mean, I don't know.
At the end of the day, I say it's plausible.
I definitely think the pictures are fake.
The pictures are definitely
fake. The radio thing, I don't know.
Same,
you know, but
I think a lot of the knocking and stuff like that is fake.
Yeah,
the audio is the only thing I think is plausible.
The one thing about it that blows my mind is just there's no central entity.
No,
there's nothing they say. Oh, he's in here. Or there's a shadow. Like they don't try to blame it on anything.
There's too much vagueness.
It, exactly.
And even the one thing that you could say is credible is dimmed by all the other fakery involved.
Yeah.
And that's almost like almost anything. And not that Ed and Lorraine Warren provided that. The girls did that themselves. But almost anything that the Warrens are involved in, you have this thing that has a plausible ounce of credit to it of like,
is that her? Chelsea
yes.
Layden?
Yes.
She's an ice hockey player, too.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
Yeah, I think that's her.
Her and her brother, yeah. Anyway.
But there's, like, this ounce of, like, this, like, shred of, like, credibility, and it gets blasted away by all this other, like, fakery. But I'd say that the audio is plausible. Everything else is absolute crap.
Yeah. I would agree.
Now, here is kind of, I would say an update. So, me and Noah have been talking about trying to figure out the whole Teespring thing. So, I actually have an old friend of mine. She got a hold of me the other day. She said, hey, I'm going to send you a sample pack. Of the and because me and Noah have been talking about doing stuff. And this is a girl that me and him both went to school with. And she just hit me up on Snap the other day. She said, hey, I'm going to send you just this random pack of stuff that I do. I want you guys to use it. You guys can do what you want with it. And then you guys can tell me what you guys want to do. And I said, fine, send me the sample pack. I've not got it yet. I don't know if she's done with all of it yet. Because she does a lot of baseball and football, cross-country stuff too. I don't know if she's actually started making any of the stuff. Supposedly, she's sending in a T-shirt or two, a lanyard,
so
a tote bag.
Are we planning on doing like a made-to-order thing instead of just doing Teespring?
Well, that's what Teespring was doing,
right? But we can't figure it out,
right? Yeah, you can't even find the store anymore.
So what we're gonna do is just if you want a shirt, message us and we'll have her make it,
or message her directly.
Okay.
But she wants to send us a sample.
I say we just give up on Teespring.
That's my guess, because I don't. I even tried writing them and trying to figure out like their support. Like, where'd our store go? And
it tells me I've made too many accounts. I can't even like get into my account anymore.
I just made the one for our store.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, where'd our store go? And I never got an email, no nothing.
It's a joke.
So she's gonna send us a sample pack. When I get that pack, I'm gonna bring it here to the studio. Let Noah look it over. I'm going to wear out the shirt. I'm probably going to do a few cold washes, a few hot washes. I'm going to wear it, set it out in the truck, see how it fades in the sun. She did say that if it's a layered design and you notice like any kind of peeling, iron it and it'll set right back.
Okay.
But she's going to send a couple lanyards, I think. She's going to send us a tote bag. She's going to send us a couple different things. Oh, she did ask you for a shirt size.
I'm not going to say that on the air.
But she does want a shirt size, so she can have it made and send it in the sample pack.
I'll send it to her privately.
But if the stuff she sends is up to our liking, we may end up letting her do our material.
Okay.
From the designs that she has sent me thus far, she's kind of altered our logo a little bit, which I said was fine. As long as it's the base logo. But she's going to play with some stuff and then she's going to let me know basically when she sends it. I'm kind of excited to see how it turns out because anything's got to be better what we dealt with Teespring because that was just a nightmare.
Right.
But I can't wait to see what she sends.
Okay.
I know that she's got a lot of happy customers down in Tennessee where she is living at. I know she does a lot of stuff for the high school stuff. She even designed some stuff for the University of Tennessee.
Is it Daniel's sister?
Yes.
Okay.
She did some stuff for the University of Tennessee. So she's done some high profile stuff. She's done some stuff for travel softball, travel baseball, cross country, football, basketball. She's done all sorts. Okay. She's done stuff for church groups. She's done stuff for, you know, like girls trips, for cruises, a camp, outings, all sorts of stuff. So I'm looking forward to the sample pack. I really am to see how it turns out. But yeah, if it works, then we're probably going to let her use our designs and logos to do t-shirts, tote bags, lanyards.
Here we go getting blown up.
Yeah, my phone's vibrating on the table right now. But anyway, that's kind of an update. So there might be some merchandise coming up. So I'll keep you guys posted when that happens. With that said, that's pretty much all the updates I have for now on our extra stuff. And I'm just excited. I can't wait to actually see this stuff in hand. So
totally. I'd like to have a nice shirt.
Yeah. So with that said, that's all I've got. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the Enfield Poltergeist and what we found on our research of it. I don't have a topic for next week yet.
We'll figure something out.
I'm going to do some stuff this weekend and kind of...
Yeah, I got one I'm going to mention after this.
Oh, you already have one on hand? Oh, cool. I can't wait. All right, guys. Have a good weekend.